Eric Darius, happy holidays. How are you?
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too. I'm great.
Busy as ever, I'm sure.
It has been crazy the last couple months, but everything is good. I can't complain.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, since we last spoke, I think I last spoke to you before you did the Napa Valley Jazz Getaway this past summer. It was a joy seeing you there. But I actually caught you at Huntington Beach in August, too. So I've seen you quite a few times this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have both been everywhere. But since we last spoke, you have released your sixth album, Retro Ford. Wow, how does that feel?
It feels amazing. I mean, it's crazy that, you know, I've been in this industry for over 10 years and I just released my sixth album, but it's a great feeling. I mean, I love making music. I love bringing some new ideas and just making music for the fans. So it has been almost 4 years since I released my last album, On a Mission. So I'm just really excited to have new music out there, and I'm really proud of this new project.
Well, tell me, Eric, what does this album mean to you, and what's the significance of the title?
Well, this album means a lot to me. You know, again, this is, you know, my sixth album, and with every album, I always try to do something different. You know, my albums are always a direct reflection of who I am as a person, as an artist, my experiences and what I go through, and I pour those things into my music.
Mm-hmm.
And with this project, I really wanted to try to bring some different elements and sounds to this new album. And I was thinking, well, what can I do that I haven't really done before? I want to continue to evolve as an artist, continue
mm-hmm.
to grow,
right.
Continue to push the boundaries and just do new things. So with this project, that's really the essence of it is going back to the music that inspired me growing up, from Earth, Wind & Fire, and Marvin Gaye, Al Green, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
And then taking my listeners on a musical journey from one era to the next, just capturing all of those sounds that influenced me, to today's music and the future of where I'm taking my music. So you get this. It's like really a musical journey where
right.
you're getting a lot of the old school sounds, and then it's also evolving to a new school sound of where I'm taking my music next. So it's this progression of really
right.
just capturing just those different sounds.
Well, that's an amazing idea because it allows you to, it allows your fans to enjoy, you know, the Eric Darius that they know, and enjoy the Eric Darius that you are becoming and that you're evolving into. But it also lets new listeners, you know, it probably is very, very, very intriguing to new listeners who may not, you know, who may not know who Eric Darius is. But listening to you now, it's like, I'm digging it. I like that. Because you brought it into a new age, kind of, you know, into a new era kind of thing going on.
Exactly. And that was really what I wanted to do, you know, to appease, you know, the listeners that's been following me over the years, also make music that's relevant for the younger generation,
mm-hmm.
including, you know, more hip-hop, R&B, pop sounds, and then just really just making music that, you know, everyone can relate to and appreciate, and that's what this album is really all about.
Well, what went into the creation of Retro Ford? I mean, when you... Did you sit back before even beginning the project, and when you began to think about it, what was your thought process as far as the creative piece of this, the your creative side of it? You know, what really went into it?
Well, the thought process for me was I wanted to take everything that I'd done before and toss that out the window.
Okay.
Start fresh.
Okay.
Like, you know what, with this album, it's a blank canvas. I want a completely different approach, a different sound. I want to work with people that I've never worked with before. And I really wanted to just reinvent myself.
Right.
And I've always looked at artists like Prince and Herbie Hancock and Miles Davis. And when you listen to every single album, each one is different. And it's really an evolution of the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to do the same thing with my music, to take people on a journey. You know, I'm a different person now than I was 4 years ago, so my music is naturally going to be different.
Right, right.
So with this project, I wanted to approach it completely different. Just throw all the rules out the window, throw everything that I've done out before, and just start fresh. And for me, it was you know, taking myself out of my comfort zone, myself in a new environment in order to create something new. And it started with finding the right producers. I worked with Tony Dixon, who's partners with Babyface, and he's written and produced songs for Janet Jackson, Celine Dion, Beyonce. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right.
And another producer named Bluetooth, who's written and produced songs for Jordan Sparks, Chris Brown, Boyz II Men. And these are guys that weren't even really familiar with my music.
Wow.
So they were coming from a completely different perspective, fresh ears. And they helped breathe new life into my music and helped craft this new sound. And that's what it was all about for me.
Whoa. Was that kind of, well, I guess I know you weren't apprehensive because you were ready to do it. But did you have a little bit of jitters like, okay, a blank canvas. Oh, my goodness. It's like starting all over. It's like moving to a new state or something. It's like the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, it was a little bit of everything. I mean, there was so many mixed emotions. There was excitement. I was a little anxious. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know
right.
what kind of sound that we were going to create. But I think that unknown is really what helped push and create and craft this new sound, you know, because we didn't want to go backwards. We wanted to go forward and, you know, where could I take my music next that I haven't taken it before? And that really just got me inspired and excited about creating music. And, you know, again, we didn't really come into this album with this plan of this is exactly what we're going to do. The music just kind of evolved naturally that way.
Wow. What was, you know, fortunately for you and the fans, it turned out, I think, exactly like you wanted it to be, because you have everything, Eric. I mean, Retro Ford has everything from the title track, which kind of explains, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is me. This is what you are listening to. This is it. To club song, to ballads. You even add your vocals to a ballad with Eric Dawkins. I said, who knew? Because it's been a long time since you've done that.
It has been. It's been a really long time, and I was just ready to just do new things, you know, just stepping out of that comfort zone and just pushing myself, you know, to see what can I do next. And it was a challenge for me because, again, you know, just stepping out of your comfort zone, it's a tough thing to do. But I think that's really what made this album what it is. I mean, I'm singing on this project. I'm playing, you know, my soprano saxophone, which I haven't done in a long time. I'm collaborating with more vocalists.
Yes.
And you get is just a different sound and a different side of me as an artist.
Okay, so what, if you could put a title other than Retro Ford on this side of Eric Darius, what would it be?
I got to think about that. You know, coming up with titles is really difficult.
I mean, if it's like, if I were to look at Eric, if I were to say, Eric, you are... for someone who knows you very well, if they were to say, Eric, you are at this present place at this time with bringing this new energy into your music, what would one call you? Would they say you are what? Or I see you have evolved into blank. Or I'm enjoying you as blank.
I would probably say... It's a tough question. I'd probably say, you know, they would probably say, you know, Eric, you're really breaking through. You're pushing the boundaries. You're pushing the envelope, and you're forging a new sound. And
there you go.
Music to a completely different direction. And I think breaking through would be kind of something that's kind of appropriate.
I like that. I like it. Oh, I love it. I love it, Eric. I love it. No, I love it because what's better than a breakthrough? I mean, in any capacity. But to see an artist, especially in any way, do something different. I think about always when people talk about being different, I always say think outside the box. I personally don't own a box. I don't even own a box.
I don't have a box personally. Especially when it comes to music. I mean, there are no boundaries. There's no boxes. I just make music. And, you know, people will categorize it and call it what they want, but that's just what it is to me. It's just good music, music with substance, and that's all I want to create.
And that's the beauty in it. And that comes across because there's nothing, you know, I hear artists speak about, you know, some speak about genre. Many these days don't like to speak about genre. They don't like being put in a genre. They don't like being put in a box.
Exactly.
You know, they want wings and they want to spread those wings and they want to do whatever they want to do because it's music.
Absolutely.
And so I get that. I get it. And I appreciate it. How since you've been in the industry over these 10 years, how have you seen it change or evolve? Or do you think it's evolving for the better and changing for the better?
I think, you know, the music industry has completely changed from the time I first came on the scene to now. You know, obviously we're in the digital era where people don't even really buy CDs anymore. They go to iTunes or Amazon, they download CDs. I mean, we have the social media platform, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the Twitters. I mean, we're in the YouTube generation.
Mm-hmm.
People are finding out about new artists via YouTube. So I think it's changed in a lot of different ways. I think in some ways it's exciting because there's just so many different platforms and ways that artists can directly connect with their fan base, which artists didn't really have those opportunities before. You know, obviously there's also some drawbacks. I mean, you don't have stores that are actually selling music.
I know.
You can go to a Borders and sit in Borders for 2 hours and just browse through the whole music catalog and listen to all the new releases. You know, that's changing. But I think as an artist, you just have to evolve and change with the times and be relevant, you know.
Right.
I think now's the time for artists to really think outside the box from a marketing standpoint. How can I reach these people? You know, there's YouTube. I mean, we have opportunities to create, you know, videos for fans to see. So there's a visual aspect that jazz hasn't really had before.
Right.
So there's so many different ways you can look at it, but I always try to look at the positive changes.
Mm-hmm.
Try to just focus on those things and use that to your benefit because it's out there for you.
Well, you are very, very active on social media, Eric. I have to give you lots of credit for that because you do make a point to connect and to stay connected via those platforms with your fans. And that's powerful because at any given day, I know I can go on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And chances are, if I don't see you one day, I'll see something the next day. And it can be simple. It can be, I think I saw something you did. You were giving, because I posted it on my Pink and Blue Notes Facebook page. It appears as if you were at home and you were just talking. I mean, what were you talking about, Eric? You were talking about the new project, I think. And you were just, you know, giving an at home, laid back, a quick little something. But wow. I mean, I thought I'm posting this because I'm serious because I shared it. I shared it because I said, this is just personal. It's laid back. It shows you the human personal side of a person who can also give you, you know, who can feed your frenzy for good music. But he's just a man and he's just coming to you, you know, simply as a man and straightforward. How beautiful was that? I mean, that. I like that. That's me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about for me. I mean, you know, people nowadays with all the social media platforms, they want to get to know the artist beyond just the music.
Right.
You know, what do they do on a regular basis? What inspires them? You know, what's around them when they're traveling? What's their experiences like? And, you know, these are so many cool ways to keep your fans engaged with what you're doing, what's going on in your life, what's inspiring you. And I just think it's such a cool aspect of this business that has changed that I think artists need to embrace and take advantage of. And I've gained so many new fans just by engaging with them.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is what's going on with me now. And it's just really cool opportunity for us.
Well, you're smart for for taking part in you know, for grasping this new wave of how we do things in the world today. You were smart to get it and to take advantage of it, because it's just the way it's going, and I don't see it is not going to go backwards.
No, it's not.
It is not going backwards. And you know, the same way we're going to talk about Happy, because you did a cover of Happy, and I was just thinking of how Happy kind of, when it came on the scene originally, when Pharrell did it, it took over. Everywhere you turned your head, there was Happy. I mean, you couldn't.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. So the way it kind of just smothered us from every corner. Another example of it being used in many different platforms to reach many different people.
Right.
And your cover of Happy did so well that it made it to the top 25 on the Billboard. That's phenomenal, Eric.
Thank you.
That's pretty darn good.
I started just incorporating Happy into my live show over the last 8-9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was a song that I really enjoyed. I felt like it was a song that the world needed. You know, there's just so much going on in the world today. And
yes.
We just need to spread love and happiness.
Yes.
And Pharrell came out with a song which I think just really hit everybody. You know, everybody needed that song that was about hope, that was about joy, that, you know, everybody just tossed their cares away when that song came on. You couldn't help but move or dance or smile. It just related to everybody on so many different levels. And I just started incorporating it into my live show, and the response from the audience every single time we performed that song was really what dictated to me, this is a song that I need to record. I mean, the way people are reacting to this song, it's touching people in a way that they need to be touched. And so I went and recorded it, and I've been very blessed that it was a very successful single for me. It you know, broke the top 20 on Billboard, and, you know, it did very well for me.
I saw you perform it at Huntington Beach. I thought, wow. And I did see the fans. I personally witnessed what you're speaking about. I saw you playing it. I saw you, you know, wowing the crowd with it. I saw them going crazy with it. Even on that hot, hot, hot day. Do you remember how hot it was that day, Eric? It was so hot. I mean, on that very hot, miserably hot day for California, nobody, you wouldn't know the difference. It was just a blast. I mean, it was just fun. So you're right. There's a different kind of response that, first of all, I don't think they expect it. If they had, because I didn't expect it, you threw me, and I thought I just know everything. You threw me full of, I scratched my head. I said, I was actually talking to Phil Denny. I said, is that Happy? And then when I heard the first part, I said, oh my God, that's Happy. And I immediately perked up, and I immediately, you know, tuned in. I mean, like focused. I said, oh, that's Happy. And from that point, you know, it blossoms into this beautiful thing. And so it would, I get what the crowd gets when you do it, because I saw it myself. And I felt it myself. So I can personally attest to that fact. And I can imagine, and no matter where you go and no matter what the venue is, small and intimate, quaint, to outdoor theater, to a concert hall, I'm sure that this song, no matter where you are, no matter who's in the crowd, like what age,
right,
no matter, it doesn't matter who they are, they all relate. And I'm sure you get them.
Absolutely.
Each time with it. I know you get them each time with it, Eric.
Every single time. And that's why I decided I have to record that song.
Well,
this is a song that everybody relates to, from 5 years old to 15 years old to 50. I mean, there's something about that song that just unites people.
Well,
that's what my music is all about.
Yes, you do a very good job, Eric, and I think that's one of your goals when you create is to bring a sense of unity to all and to everyone. And so you're not just focused on this person or that group or this group. You want your music to be just across the board, you know, unifying and embraceable.
Absolutely.
Well, you've done a great job, because on Retro 4, you, I mean, like I said, you have ballads. You have a club song. I mean, who would think? Who would have thought I'm going to listen to a jazz album and hear Broke Down, a song that can be played in a club, a song that you can hear bebopping your head to down the street when you're driving. I mean, exactly. But I like the fact that you incorporate that because, you know, you that's diversity. You know, you're showing another side to
absolutely
Eric.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, I think as an artist, you have to not be afraid sometimes to take chances musically and just step outside of the box and just create something that's really going to push yourself and take you somewhere else. And with this album, I mean, you get everything.
Yes.
I mean, there's a song that has an 80s rock vibe with reggae on top of it.
Yes.
There's soaring, heartfelt ballads. There's like dance club music, like Broke Down.
But you did two covers too, Eric. You covered Barry White. Love that.
Did a completely different spin and take on Barry White's Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Yes.
And we actually took it from a disco song to a really sultry neo-soul ballad. And that's the song that I sing on. I also have an incredible vocalist named Terry Dexter, who's a guest vocalist on that song. And it just kind of takes you somewhere else. And it feels like a fresh, brand new song just because of the twist that we put on it.
Well, and you have some neo-soul on here. Like you said, you reach to your also go back to your Caribbean roots and you pull some of that out too, you know, with that reggae. You just do some. I mean, I don't think it's did you leave anything out?
I don't think so. Maybe a little bit of country. We didn't quite incorporate on this project.
I mean,
watch out. Maybe on the next.
Maybe, but I mean, so appreciative and so thankful. If you had to do it all over again, would you change anything?
I don't think there's anything I would change. I mean, really, this album embodies me as a person, as an artist,
mm-hmm.
where I'm at now in my life, and really what I wanted to express to my fans. So I don't really think there's anything I would change. I'm really happy with
wonderful,
you know, what we created, and I definitely think it's you can hear the growth and evolution of me as an artist from my last album to this one. And
right.
I just hope that I can continue to do that with each album that I release.
Oh, no doubt you will, because you are clearly, you're headed, you've already shown us. I'm about to show all of you something totally off the chart, totally different than what you even expect is going to, you know, nobody would have expected it. So that's kind of, that alone is intriguing and enticing, you know, just the unexpected. Getting something that you're not quite knowing, you know, you just don't quite know. Oh, you know, did he just take us to the club? I mean, did he just take us to the club, or did he just take us to in front of the fireplace? Oh my goodness, did he just take us to the beach? Oh my God, you know, I mean, what is? And did he not just make the whole household want to dance? You know, from 2-year-olds to 60-year-olds, like I said. So you really mix it all up, and that is a great thing to watch an artist evolve. There's nothing worse than knowing what you're gonna get. Oh my God, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, I see it too often. You know, where it's so predictable. This is exactly what I expect.
Oh God, I hate that.
You're coming outside the lines.
Yes, you do.
I take chances. I don't know if you know everybody's going to embrace, you know, everything that I do. But it's my goal and my hope that, you know, with every album I release, I'll be able to introduce my music to new fans that may have not have been interested before, you know, just by hearing one song.
Well, you've done that. With Retro Ford, you have definitely done that. Wouldn't you say?
Thank you.
I mean, I think you can go ahead and say, I think with this album, I have accomplished, you know, and gotten some new fans. And, you know, and I know you've been performing around. Have you done Dave Koz's Spags yet? Or are you going to do it? Or did you already do it?
I just did it about 10 days ago.
That's what I thought. I knew it was somewhere in the vicinity. I wasn't quite sure the date. How was that?
It was awesome. I mean, I love performing at large venues where you have thousands of people. But I also really enjoy the intimate venues. Because there's just a certain connection that you get in this one-on-one interaction with audiences in an intimate venue like a Spaghettini, than you get at a large festival. Everything about that place is incredible, from the vibe, the ambiance, the lighting, the food, the crowd. I mean, everything about it was great. It was a great experience, I don't think not only for the fans, but for me as an artist, just being able to really just have that intimate experience with the fans. And it's a beautiful place, and it's perfect for music. I mean, it truly is a perfect lounge to showcase both fine first-class dining to fine first-class music.
Wow, I love that. I love it. I'm gonna check it out when I go to NAMM. I'm definitely gonna make that one of my stops. What does 2015 look like for you, Eric? And what can fans expect? And then tell me how they can keep up with what you're doing, you know, via your website and your social media outlets.
Absolutely. I mean, 2015 for me is really just about endless opportunities, endless possibilities. You know, even outside of music. Just this past year, I had the opportunity to perform on The X Factor with Mary J. Blige and David Foster.
Wow.
On a TV show on TNT called Mob City.
Mm-hmm.
I got to venture into a little bit of acting. But I think 2015 is just going to be a year of just excitement for me. I mean, with this brand new album, we're going to be on the road, so we're going to be touring and performing nonstop. And then just going to be doing a lot of new things. You know, I have my school mission where I go to a lot of different elementary, middle, and high schools to promote music education in schools. So I'll continue doing that next year. And just doing a lot more things, you know, again, outside the box. You know, you may see me on a TV show that you would have never expected to see me. You may see me collaborating with somebody that you would have never expected to see me collaborate with. And I'm just excited about what's in store for next year. You know, it's a lot of new exciting things.
Well, you have me excited for you because, I mean, you made me, you know, my heart is like warmed up because I can hear the happiness. I can hear the anticipation and excitement in your voice. And it warms my heart to know that you are going, you know, outside and you're dibble dabbling and you're not focusing on just one path. You are entering and exploring different things, and that is to me is beautiful as an artist.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what it's all about for me. I never rest on my laurels. I'm always pushing myself. What can I do next? How can I do things outside of what I'm already doing? And just always trying to think of creative, innovative ways to keep myself and my brand, you know,
yes,
fresh.
Well, my friend,
that's what it's all about.
You're doing a great job. Now tell me your website and your Twitter handle and all those things so fans can keep track of what you're doing.
Absolutely. My fans, you can follow me on my website, which is ericdarius.com. That's www.ericdarius.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/Eric Darius Band, which is my fan page. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. Just search my name, Eric Darius, and you'll find me there. And I love engaging and connecting directly with the fans. So I encourage all of you to check out my social media pages. Feel free to send me messages or questions or anything you'd like to share with me, because I do personally check those, and I love to engage directly with them.
Yes, you do. And I'm going to testify because you are, like I said, you are active on social media, hands down, for sure. And, you know, in a personal way and in an interpersonal way. And I like that and I appreciate it. Now, lastly, before I let you go, this is like a fun question that I just want to ask you. If you had a superpower, Eric, what would it be and why?
A superpower.
You could be a superhero.
Well, ever since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to be able to fly.
Okay.
And I think ever, you know, since I was little, watching, you know, Superman and stuff like that, there was just something about flying that has always intrigued me. And then I guess I do that now on an airplane, but it's kind of different than what I envisioned.
I love it. Well, at least if you had the superpower, you would need the airplane.
Absolutely. I can be wherever I want to be. If I had fans that wanted to see me perform in France right now, I would just fly right over there and I'd be there in a flash.
So not only would you be able to fly, you would be able to flash fly, like rapidly do so, like in a blink, like I can do it so fast, like you don't even understand.
Exactly.
Well, Eric, with that in mind, I'm going to remind you of that next time I see you.
Okay.
And I'm sure.
I'll be working on that.
Are you going to NAMM, Eric? Will you be in California at NAMM or no?
I should be at NAMM. I'm not 100% sure yet. We're putting the tour schedule now for 2015, and I know that I'm going to have some tour dates around that time frame, but I will probably be at NAMM at least one or two of those days.
Okay, well, I will look for you there, Eric. It has been a pleasure, and if I don't catch you there, I know I will see you somewhere in 2015 for sure. It's been a pleasure. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I hope Santa is really good to you.
Thank you. I hope he's great to you, too. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too, Eric.
See you very soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, take care.